Used to be a time I could go up them stairs pretty quick. That time has come and passed. Psalm 122, 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I'd like to extend a welcome to all our visitors. This is Calvary Baptist Church. You're only a visitor once around here. Make yourself to home. This is God's people. This morning, we're going to speak. I'm going to. But it isn't me. It's God's word. And everything I say, run it through God's filter. It come from God's word. I don't think it up myself. But God said it, and that settles it. We honored our men and women in the service today. Reminds me, like our foyer out there, this young man and his young son still holding on to his hand. We're coming, and he met the pastor, and the little boy is transfixed on a plaque. Dad, what's this plaque? And his dad tells him, well, that's the names of the men who died in the service. The little boy got a puzzled look on his face, morning or evening. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. When I give you the scripture reference, the first thing that's going to come to your mind is the challenge of the prophets of Baal. 1 Kings chapter 18. But we're going to miss that just a little bit. This is right before it. And the title of the message, whose side are you on? Remember when we were younger and you'd choose up baseball teams? Well, one young fellow wanted to play with his brother or his best buddy on that team. But he's on our team because we were short. So there's a ground ball to him. He misses it. Other kid runs up. Whose side are you on?
Yep.
Now remember that. Whose side are you on? We don't take scripture out of context. Amen?
Amen.
Context and content. What's the context of chapter 18? We need to transport our mind back to the 38th year of the reign of Asa, king of Judah. The kingdom is now divided. 10 northern and 2 southern. The northern is Israel and the southern is Judah and Benjamin. This is when Ahab's reign began. He ruled Israel 22 years. And this is straight from 1 Kings 16:30. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. What is Elijah doing? He was at the brook Cherith, drinking from the brook, and the ravens fed him, 1 Kings 17:3 and 4. Where I come from, a raven is just an overgrown crow. I never had them fly in and feed me, but the Lord can make the critters do anything he wants. Pretty soon, even the brook dried up, and the Lord sent him to Zarephath, where he had instructed a widow to provide for his needs. We all know the narrative about the empty flour barrel and empty oil drum. Why would the Lord do this? To prepare Elijah to meet Ahab. So what's in it for us? We must realize that we are empty crocks and empty flour barrels. If each one of us are empty crocks and empty flour barrels, we are nothing unless the water of life and bread of life are in us. Amen?
Amen.
Most churches are made up of empty vessels. That is why churches are now just spiritual floor shows. They have become religious nightclubs. Elijah was ready for the big showdown with Ahab. Elijah and Obadiah, 1 Kings 18, verses 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came to him in the third year, and he had a message for Ahab. It has not rained for 3.5 years. The message is, God will send rain. Verse 2, the famine is bad in Samaria. Why didn't it rain? We know that. Look back at Deuteronomy 28, verse 24. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Deuteronomy 28. If you do this, here's the blessing. If you don't do this, here's what's going to happen. Hasn't rained in 3.5 years. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. There's the message. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Well, 3.5 years without rain, there ain't nothing growing. And they didn't have the big rolling irrigators like you see in eastern Washington. Verse 3. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. And here in parentheses, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. We are introduced to the man Obadiah. This is not the prophet, the minor prophet Obadiah. That's years and years into the future. His name means servant of Yahweh, servant of Jehovah. What is his job? He is the governor, overseer of the palace of the king. Feared the Lord greatly. To save God's prophets from Jezebel, Obadiah hid 100 prophets of the Lord, 50 to each cave, and fed them with bread and water. Verse 3. And Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. You think the Lord could have used the ravens to feed the prophets? Here's another question. Do you think the Lord needed Ahab's money to provide for the prophets? No way. Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything is his. When you think about he scraped dirt together, blew life into it, and made man in his own image. If he can do that, and he did do that, feeding prophets is a snap. And from before the foundation of the earth, he spoke everything into existence. That is one powerful God. Amen. Verse 5. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and to all brooks. Preadventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. In military terms, Obadiah went one way, Ahab went another, and they were on a recon mission. See if they can find water and grass. Obadiah meets Elijah, 1 Kings 18, verses 7 and 8. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. In the original, where it says Elijah is here, it's Lo Elijah. Here he is, right there. While Obadiah was looking for grazing land, he met Elijah. Elijah introduced himself. Elijah had a message for Ahab. Only 3 words. Elijah is here. or in the original, Lo Elijah. Obadiah the messenger, 1 Kings 18:9-13. And he said, "What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek me." And when he said, "He is not there," he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, "Go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here." And it came, and it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, the servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Verse 13. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? What was Obadiah's objection? What have I done to deserve death? King Ahab had sent many out to find Elijah. They went to every nation and kingdom searching for him. Elijah senses the fear Obadiah has of Ahab. He then repeats the message. Elijah is here. If I go and give the message to Ahab and he comes here and you ain't here, he will kill me. I have feared the Lord from my youth. Recorded in God's word. The man is filled with fear because he knows Ahab. Ahab was not a good king. All the northern kings were evil. Some, and it said, he did more evil than the ones before him. Judah wasn't exempt. They had Manasseh. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. But Manasseh did repent later on. And he tried to undo what he did, but the damage was done. And notice, Obadiah the messenger. Who told Elijah about Obadiah's hiding the Lord's prophets? Said in verse 13, "Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water?" Ahab didn't know. Obadiah didn't know. Who do you think told Elijah that Obadiah had hid 100 of his prophets? And it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, he probably told him right then, because it said, "Who was it not told my Lord?" That's God's word. Was it not told my Lord? And then, "I, thy servant, fear the Lord. I did when Jezebel slew. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." Obadiah does not want to deliver the message. He's afraid of, they're going to kill the messenger. And I wouldn't have put it past Ahab and Jezebel to do it. Message delivered, 1 Kings 18, verses 14 through 16. "And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today." Elijah comforted and reassured Obadiah. And Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today." Well, if Obadiah had to go back and find Ahab. It must have not been very far because they're going to meet each other that same day. God's word said they're going to meet that same day. The message was repeated. Elijah is here. In the original, like I said, Lo Elijah. Here he is. No matter what the messenger thinks, says, or does, God's message never changes. We folks are just a loudspeaker. What do we put out? What God has put out. We're not a filter of it. We don't take it out of context and twist it around and make it fit what we want it to fit. God's word is God's word, and it's settled forever. Amen?
Amen.
And you can take anything in God's word and take it for value. I was asked one time, do you really believe in 6 days, 6 literal days, that God created the heavens and the earth?
Amen.
Well, what's your backing? How can you prove what you think? Turn to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and earth. One day he made the next one. Next day he made something else. Folks, that was a literal 24-hour day on the earth. And you said, well, how can you prove it? I just did. God's word said it right there. What else proof do you need? If God said it, that's it. That settles it. There's no debate. There's no discussion. God said it. That settled it. We must believe that. Elijah's reassurance, I will surely sow myself unto him today. Elijah had been by the brook, drinking from the brook and fed with the ravens. God had prepared him for just this mission. And the message was, God's going to send rain. But what there was something that he's going to do before that, and that's what everybody thinks 1 Kings 18 is. They skip over the Obadiah part and go right to the challenge of the prophets. Message delivered. Obadiah told Ahab, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You prophet, you're the one causing the trouble. No. Who was causing the trouble? It was on Ahab's end. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. What did Deuteronomy 28 tell you? If you don't do this, this is going to happen. And we remember in Jeremiah, you have traded the living waters of the living God for broken cisterns that hold no water. Where I come from, if you had to drink out of a cistern, you were down on the... They're not the greatest things. Use them for storing water. We had one, and the drains, the gutters all drained to it. And they had a rain barrel. My sisters and cousins would wash their hair in that soft rainwater. But after it's been in that cistern a while, I'd rather walk the mile to the creek and get a good cold drink instead of that. But they built broken cisterns that held no water. But they had the living water of God's word, and they turned their back on it. So what's the application to us? So what can we learn from the passage? Here is what C.I. Scofield had to say. You'll have to make up your own mind on Obadiah. In such a time as the reign of Ahab and Jezebel, a real believer's true place was at Elijah's side. Obadiah is a warning type of the men of God who adhere to the world while still seeking to serve God. The heart of God and the power of the Lord were with Elijah, the separated servant. I got to go with Schofield on this one. When I read through it, yeah, he did hide the prophets. He did feed the prophets. But what was it said that he did? Overseer of the palace. He had one foot serving the Lord and one foot serving Ahab. He didn't want to be out by the brook getting fed by the crows. He liked the palace. It was comfortable. But where should he have been, folks? He should have been out with the prophet, amen? When we read in verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel? You troublemaker, look what you stirred up." Sounds like the liberals blaming us fundamentalists for church division. Sounds an awful lot like it. Well, we need to get along. No, we don't. You have 10 churches. 9 of them are no good. 1 good one. Like a barrel of apples. You got 10 bad apples in a barrel. Do you put the good one in with the bad ones? And the good one makes the bad ones good? No. The bad ones make the good one bad. Biblical separation, folks. There's a couple, 3 different kinds of separation. There's physical separation. Wayne knows his wife's in Kentucky. Many of us that have served in the service, the wife's at home and we're deployed. Missed just physical separation. Ecclesiastical separation. That's the churches. Who led the church? Who led the church away from its foundation? Was it the fundamentalist? No. Liberals. The Word of God will always stir things up. They don't want to hear that. They want their own gospel all the time. Oh yes, they'll preach God is love, but God is also holy and righteous. They just take one attribute. Yes, God is love. He had a love to send his only begotten son to die a horrible death for somebody like me. It should have been me up there paying for my own sins, and I still couldn't. He did it in my place and your place. So back to our title, whose side are you on? God's or the world? Calvary Baptist Church is in the minority. We separate our corporate body from the Ichabod Baptist Churches of America. But it boils down to a personal level. Do we have a foot in the church and the other in the world? Live like the world Monday to Saturday, play Christian on Sunday. Go to a church for entertainment or hear God's word. It boils down to the individual. He must make that choice every day. Every morning the alarm sounds, you swing your legs over the edge. Now we should be as Joshua. 24:15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day." What's he end with? "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." We must make this decision each and every day. And that decision, whose side are you on? Man divides folks this way. Here's a caste, and then you're down the rungs. God doesn't do that. How does he divide? This way, saved or lost. There's only that two. It boils down to an individual responsibility and decision. And the decision you make has consequences. You hear the politicians, elections have consequences. Yeah, but this decision has a bigger set of consequences that last for what? Last forever. You can spend eternity with the Lord. Amen. I'm ready for that. Or in a Christless hell in eternity, suffering forever. Forever is a long time. Do you think we could earn our way? No. Well, I'm the Sultan of Brunei. I'll just buy my salvation. No, you can't buy it. Well, my mom and dad were Christian, so it's down to me. No, that decision, it lies with each and every one of us. Whose side are you on? Every day we must make that decision. Am I going to serve the Lord today, or am I going to blend in with the world? I'm going to serve the Lord. Most of us here are Christians. It's directed at those. But I don't know the hearts. All I can see is the outside. Only the Lord knows the heart. Man is sinful, rotten clean through. Big fancy. Total depravity, rotten clean through, with no hope of salvation of their own. Salvation through works, other than salvation by grace through faith alone, it's a work salvation, folks. You're going to talk to the beads, or you're going to take a cold shower in the morning, or you go on a 2-year mission. You think that impresses the Lord? What's the only thing that the Lord sees in our empty account? The precious blood of his Son that was shed for us. And it said the Lord did it willingly. Why? Because he loved us. And there was no other way of salvation. By grace. Through faith. What? Alone. We bring nothing to the agreement. Everything was done on God's side. His blood was shed. He died on the cross. He rose again. Amen. You can't go to a tomb and look and see remains in there because he isn't there. And what was promised in God's word? I go and prepare a place for you, and what? He's coming back for me. Amen. And you. But that boils down to an individual decision. Are you going to accept God's free gift of salvation? We bring nothing to it. Our righteousness, according to God's word, is what? Filthy rags, junk, useless. But we come before a holy God. Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive me, a sinner. Come and rule my life. Kick me off the throne of my life, and you lead my life. From that instant on, you're in God's house, you're a God's child, and life gets real good after that. Now don't let these TV preachers tell you, well, if you only get saved, you're going to get a Mercedes. No, what's God's word say? If he hated me, you're going to hate you too. Persecution is coming if you're going to live for the Lord. There's no escaping it. But who do we have? We have the Holy Spirit in us. And what's God's word say? Greater is in me than he is in the what? World. The victory has already been won, folks. Satan knows it. That's why he's out there Walk in the streets as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Okay, Satan, come devour me. I get to be with the Lord. That just irks him. And yes, it's hard. It's hard to witness. You don't want to be humiliated, have the door slammed in your face, throwed off the porch. But that's our job. And when that trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise first, and those of us left meet him in the air. And what's the best part? And so ever to be with the Lord. I like that part. But that it all boils down to by grace through faith, what? Alone. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. It can't be willed to us. And that decision is made by whom? By your own self. Join me in prayer, please. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to bring a message to this people this day. Thank you for the provision of America. And Lord, we just thank you for the provision for salvation. Worthless, useless us. And a holy God came and died a horrible death for us. He didn't have to. He had no sin to pay for. He paid for ours. And Lord, let no one leave unless they make a decision for you. Let this be the marketplace and do business with God. Or let's have newborns today, Lord, newborn in life. Give us safety and the picnic and an enjoyable fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen.